For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't know how you can have a play like we saw yesterday. I mean, yesterday's Yankee game, for a team that is red hot and wins 3 out of 4, and you want to enjoy that as much as you possibly can, it was still an infuriating day yesterday because you had a clear home run taken off the board, or never really put on the board, from Aaron Judge, no less striking out, which should have at the very least been a walk. And the umpires not knowing what they're doing there. And then you had the official scorer messing up where he ruled one play an error. And then 2 innings later, right as Max Fried is about to set the mound for take the mound for the top of the eighth inning or the bottom of the eighth inning and get you all set for a no-hitter, chasing a no-hitter, the scoring was changed. So infuriating game, even in a win for the Yankees yesterday. But we focused on the Judge home run. And just think about the impact potentially long-term. I know that this is playing it way down the road, but 7 home runs to 8 home runs, not that big of a difference. What if it's 59 to 60 home runs? What if it's 62 to 63 home runs? What if it's 69 to 70 home runs or 73 to 74? It sounds ridiculous, but with Aaron Judge, it might not be. Every home run counts, and they are hard to hit. You can't be hitting them and not having them stand up when it is legitimate. And that, to me, questions the integrity of the sport. And I'm not saying that, you know, the umps or replay officials were on the fix. However, tell me as a baseball fan, whether you're a Yankee fan or not, watching that game yesterday, how you could feel comfortable about the integrity of the sport when you saw a clear home run not be ruled as such, when you saw an official score make a change after a couple of innings, when you thought your pitcher was going to take the mound with a no-hitter in the eighth inning. That is just preposterous to me that that could happen. It's a bad look for Major League Baseball. It's inexcusable, unacceptable. The Yankees still haven't even heard an explanation as to how that even happens as far as the home run call goes. It's ridiculous. Not to mention that Major League Baseball's got 2 Major League teams playing games in minor league ballparks. And then you saw Aaron Boone getting really upset about it, and understandably so. Listen to his comment after the game on the Aaron Judge non-home run call.
I don't, the audacity of the call standing is remarkable. So it's a home run, and yeah, it didn't go our way though.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't have said it better myself, Booney. It's a home run. How do you have the audacity to have that call stand? It is, in fact, remarkable. Perfectly said by Aaron Boone after the game. Justifiable to get thrown out. And obviously, he argued balls and strikes after Judge's call down on strikes, which is another ridiculous call. But really, it was about the home run not standing. It's just inexcusable. And just because you're not maybe a Yankee fan, obviously, Yankee fans are going to be upset. But even if you're a Met fan and you're listening, you should be bothered by that just as much because it could happen to you as well. Who's to say that it can't happen to Soto if he ever hits a home run at Citi Field? Or Pete Alonso, you know, all the whatever. Pick a player. Now, I know it's a different ballpark, different stadium, but still, who's to say, hey, you know what? Soto hit one so high over the foul pole in right field, we're not sure where it landed. And replay can't even show it. Or they show the replay that says clearly where the ball landed. I mean, I don't know how you watch that replay and don't understand where the ball landed. You explain it to the officials. Hey, look, there's the wall. That's the foul pole. Those are the trees. This is where the ball landed. How is that a foul ball? So it impacts every baseball fan if you're watching that game. And you have to feel the frustration from a Yankees perspective for both the Judge home run and the Max Fried incident with that the official score overturning an earlier call on an error that gave him a no-hitter and then turning it to a hit, which took away the no-hitter before he actually gave up a hit in that eighth inning. We talked about them. We talked about the Mets. The other part about the Mets, not only a big series tonight at Citi Field, against the Phillies, which will be, you know, the battle for first place. Phillies reigning NL East champs. Mets knocked them out in the postseason. No love lost between these two teams. You know the bad blood, and it exists there. It's a tremendous rivalry that maybe can be renewed here this season, starting with the regular season, starting with tonight. But Citi Field has been electric. It has been an October feel in April at Citi Field in the first time in its existence. That has never happened before. Matter of fact, there's been October games at Citi Field that haven't felt like October games. Go back to 2022. And maybe that stems from the Mets fans believing in their team and encouraging their team and their players. Whether it's Lindor a year ago, even when he didn't deserve the encouragement. Whether it's Juan Soto now, even though his performance is not warranted of the encouragement. Mets fans giving Lindor the encouragement last year, and it started a great relationship between the fan base and their favorite player, or one of their favorite players. And then the Mets go out there and have success. And then Steve Cohen has a great offseason bringing in superstar Juan Soto. Fans buy tickets, fans show up, the team rewards them by playing well, 9-1 at home. The energy in the building is great, the players respond. It's a very nice cycle that the Mets got going. Owner invests in the team, they do it smartly with the leadership of David Stearns. Fans go out to see it, the players go out there and play well, 9-1, and it's a big party, and it has been a great atmosphere to start this season at Citi Field, even encouraging Juan Soto, who's starting to get going a little bit. There's a lot more there as far as Juan Soto goes, and maybe as the series get bigger, like this one tonight, Soto will show up more. That has been his MO. The bigger the series, the bigger the stage, the bigger Soto delivers. Still waiting for his first home run at Citi Field, but the atmosphere has been electric. We'll get to the Knicks. We'll get to the Jets. I promise you, I got plenty on those two coming up here. We got to hear from Muji still, and Knicks game two. We'll react a little bit to game one and then look ahead to game two tonight. But back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Dave is in Rockville Center. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Good, Dave. How are you?
Sal, I'm going to start a precedent here with my suggestion, but I don't care. The Yankees won the game anyway. What stops MLB from retroactively awarding the home run? They didn't lose the game, so we don't have any issues there. They just, I mean, look, it's the most important stat in the game of baseball. And they could do this. Doesn't hurt them? What do you think?
I think it's an interesting point. I'm trying to think of it in real time. I mentioned this earlier. I'm like, well, they're not going to overturn it now and go back and play the game over. What would be the harm in awarding Judge?
Just a change on the official score sheet. Doesn't add runs to the scoreboard. It's just his stat.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Dave. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not opposed to it because things have been changed. And thank you for your call and for your insight. Things have been changed before, like official scores, whether it's two innings later, whether it's a day later. Remember, people would call up and complain about it. If you see it on replay clearly, which we did. I mean, unless I'm missing something, I watched the replay, the one that they showed on. Yeah, so we watched the replay together. I don't understand how that ball is not a home run. So if you definitively watch that replay and can say this ball was a clear home run, which I think we can, I don't know why they couldn't, then what would be the harm in changing the official score instead of a strikeout to a home run? Now remember, what does that do then for gambling purposes? Is that a road that we're going to go down? I don't even know if there's precedent for that before.
There is, because they didn't change other calls. Galarraga's no-hitter.
Yeah, I know, but this is clear replay to overturn it while there is replay in use. I forget the exact situation with Galarraga, but I don't believe it was the case at that particular point.
Well, there was
point.
No replay during the Galarraga.
That's what I'm saying. So now there's replay involved. But think about it this way. If you have a bet, so it's the same game parlay, whatever, or not even a same game parlay. You have a bet for Pete Alonso to get three hits, and he gets two hits, but one of the calls was overturned a week later. Are you still getting paid out on that? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sure that there has been precedent here before. This would be a little bit more extreme where you go from strikeout to home run. I mean, there are implications to this that maybe I'm not smart enough to understand in real time, but whatever those implications are shouldn't be big enough to not warrant justifying the right call and what really happened. If baseball came out today and, as they explained to the Yankees what happened, and said, we're sorry, we're going to put a home run back on the board and change the final score, change the strikeout to a home run, Judge goes from 7-8, I would not be opposed to that because it really happened. Judge should have a home run. But then the question becomes, well, what happens now moving forward? Whereas, what if the home run was the difference in the game? What if the Yankees lost that game 3-2, but Judge's home run should have been upheld? You can't say, well, we're going to make it a home run. It's 3-3. I know that was part of Dave's thinking there, saying, well, it didn't matter in the score, but you never know. You don't want to set that precedent and then open that can of worms to something that you can't go back. However, what's fair is fair. In my mind, at least, Aaron Judge hit a home run. He should have 8 home runs, not 7. Dave is calling from Setauket. What's up, Dave?
How's it going?
Good.
Hey, listen to the last call. I agree with all the points you were making. Honestly, they should give him a home run. It was like way inside the foul pole. And honestly, I don't understand the betting angle of it, but we should make that a home run.
Well, the bigger problem, Dave, and thank you for the call, the bigger problem is not what we should do after the fact. It's how the umpires and the replay judges or officials got that wrong. How did they possibly get that wrong? I would love to hear this. Boone said it best. The audacity to not overturn that call is, in fact, remarkable. How? How? I'm sure they're waiting. The Yankees are dying, waiting for an explanation. I would love to hear how you justify not turning that play that we all saw after this specific angle showing the left field foul pole down the third baseline, the home run landing in fair territory into the trees. How do you not make that home run? Who's watching this? That's the bigger problem. Who's watching this that thought that this shouldn't be overturned? And then how does that, how can you justify that person? And I'm not trying to fire any individual, but the process is broken. If there's a problem, it's not the individual, it's the process. How is it possible that in this process, with all the technology and all the money in the world, that somebody sitting somewhere can see what we saw on replay, see that, and not say definitively it was a home run? That's what I need to know. That's more important than whether or not you give Judge the home run, which I would doubt that they're going to go back and do. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I doubt they're going to do it. But more importantly is, how did they come to this conclusion? Now, Hoff, you say you have an answer as far as it pertains to the betting aspect of it?
Yeah, so one site says this. If your bet is incorrectly settled as a win, your account has been credited with winnings in error.
Yeah.
If that bet is settled to void for whatever reason, basically they're just washing it, the incorrectly credited winnings will be debited from your account and the stake will be credited to your account. If that bet is resettled as a loss,
yeah,
the incorrectly credited winnings that you've got in your account will and stake will be debited out of your account.
So you're talking about for change in official scoring.
Yeah.
After the fact.
Yeah. So if they credit,
they will go back in real time and adjust either way.
Yeah. So say if you said I'm not going to have Aaron Judge isn't going to hit any home runs that game, and you hit because plus money because
you still could lose that if they change it.
If they do that.
So they go based on the official. All right. I mean, at least that they're playing along here with the long game, whatever the official score does. So if you had Judge hit home run yesterday, and they overturn that and make it a home run, you're going to then win the money.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hold my breath on that one, but okay, at least so at least that should be eliminated from the process. But it is a big deal. I don't know if that's all sports books. That's one that you picked out. We don't know if that's all of them. Dan is calling from Port Jeff. What's up, Dan?
Hey, how's it going, Sal?
Good. How are you, Dan?
Doing all right. While you're on the topic of the gambling stuff, I'm not sure if you touched on this, but in reference to the no-hitter, I had, weirdly enough, seen something prior to this game.
Mm-hmm.
Fairly certain it was something like plus 18,000 odds for this to happen. So,
for what to happen?
Obscene for a no-hitter for the Yankees.
Interesting. So you could bet on that, like, each individual game.
Which I didn't do myself, but I wasn't aware of that was a thing you could do prior to yesterday. Thought it was funny enough that a no-hitter was about to happen, in my mind, you know, up till that point. And as everything broke down, I was thinking of whatever sucker out there had actually put money down on this. The way that this must have broken down for him was heartbreak.
Yeah, well, right. We're looking at it from a fan's perspective. Imagine you had a lot of money on that, and thank you for the call, which is why, you know, you got to be smart about that. And I love gamblers that would say, oh, can you believe this? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I can. Happens all the time. I can't believe that. Oh, you mean you got screwed by something that happened in a sporting event? Shocker. Yeah, it happens all the time. You should expect as a gambler, as I very well know from my own experience, at some point you're going to get hit hard in a way that you didn't expect or you feel like you got screwed over. That's just par for the course. My annoyance with that would be that the official scorer screwed up the momentum maybe that Fried had by changing the ruling when he did. Now, in reality, it should have been a hit anyway. So it's not like they got the official score wrong. And then he did give up another hit on top of that. And it would have been, oh my God, can you imagine the controversy if Fried went through the rest of the game allowing just that one hit that was overturned? I mean, baseball got lucky in that regard. But still not able to avoid the criticism. Not from us, not today. I just don't get, and you can have fun with it and joke around about it. And look, in the big scheme of things, is it the end of the world? No, but you know that it's going to happen down the road in a big spot. It always does in all the sports. There's always going to be controversy, even with all this replay. But something as clear as day like that, it's inexcusable. Inexcusable. We actually have Thomas Dimitroff scheduled to join us in studio on the day of the draft. So BT and I will have fun talking to Thomas Dimitroff, former general manager of the Atlanta Falcons, knows the draft in and out. So pick his brain, obviously interview for the Jets job as well. Well, somebody who did get the Jets job, Darren Mooji, met the media today, and he talked first. We have a couple of sound bites here, right? First, he talked about the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Of course, he was asked about that. You know, it's going to be front and center. Let's hear how Mooji handled himself as it pertains to the Aaron Rodgers questions.
Aaron Rodgers went on Pat McAfee last week, and he described the meeting in February. He said he didn't really, there was an ample amount of respect in the meeting. Said it lasted 15 minutes. Do you dispute his account of that meeting?
I understand the question, and I addressed that at the combine. But today, I just want to talk about the draft and Jets players.
Do you have any regrets from that meeting?
I understand the question, but I'm just going to talk about the draft and current Jets players.
All right, not the worst thing in the world. Hoff first heard it. He was like, oh, it's like Idzik. I'm not getting Idzik vibes. I respect that he doesn't want to talk about it. It's not the way that I would have handled it. I think sometimes you could just address it head on simply and move on. The fact that he doubled down, you know, it was a clear, prepared statement. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm just here to talk about the draft. That makes it seem like you're not being authentic. Just say, look, I said what I said about Rodgers. We moved on. That's it. End of story. You could address it without addressing it. All right. What was the other thing that he said about the fifth-year option? This is the intriguing stuff here about Sauce and Garrett and everybody. Let's see what he says, fifth-year option.
You made a decision on the fifth-year options for the 2022 first-round picks.
Yeah, we have time to make that decision, but I do anticipate exercising those fifth-year options on those players. On those players, yeah.
All right, if we have anything as it pertains to the draft or certain pick selection, really not much. Nothing like Joe Shane, where we had a breakdown the other day. Mooji, nothing else there, Hoff, from Mooji?
Like I was trying to say earlier, not much to say.
Yeah, I mean, which is fine. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. You heard Phil talk about this morning. And by the way, I didn't get a chance to meet Phil Sims. I love Phil Sims. Nobody told me to be in studio, and he was here all day long. I could have said hi to Phil, one of my idols. I mean, I love Hoss Settler, too, but I love Phil Sims. I used that joke already to Phil Sims when he was on with BT and I. No, but seriously, I do love Phil Sims. He's one of my favorite characters. But he said on the, well, his personality, I mean, he's such a character. He said to Boomer and Geo that he believes Aaron Glenn is, and this is not like breaking news. We've heard this before, but coming from Phil Sims, I respect it a little bit more, where he said that Aaron Glenn is going to be a version of Bill Parcells. I mean, we know he's a Parcells disciple. We know that he talked to Parcells, and we know how much he loved Parcells and looked up to him. He's going to try to emulate with his own, I'm sure, personality as a part of it. You have to evolve. I mean, it's been how many decades since Parcells was successful as a head coach in the NFL, so you have to evolve to the modern game as well, and that's the one concern that I would have, because I love Parcells more than anybody, and I love that mindset and that style. Is it going to work? I mean, we talk about a softer fan base now with Citi Field being encouraging when players aren't getting the job done, and maybe it's working. So what makes us think that being Bill Parcells-like would work in the modern-day NFL with modern-day athletes? Can't be both ways. Can't be, oh, yeah, Parcells' way is going to work, but yet we should cheer players when they're struggling. Which one is it? And obviously they're two different things, but it's the similar thought process. You either want to, like Mickey Callaway famously said, we're going to love these players more than anybody else, coddle them, love them, caress them. Maybe he didn't say caress, but you get the point. Or you're going to be hard-ass like Glenn. I'd rather be like Aaron Glenn. That, to me, is what I would do. And I still think that there's a place for that. But you have to have the right players buying in. I'm not going to overreact and go nuts about Muji, even though I don't think the Jets have handled themselves perfectly here as it pertains to Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is no longer the story. That's it. It was last week. It might be the next time we hear from Glenn as a question or two, and maybe he says differently. Maybe he handles it the same way Muji does, and then we could all move on. Ultimately, it's about moving forward. What are the Jets going to do with that seventh pick? Same pertains to the Giants. And then for the Jets, what is it going to be about Aaron Glenn as a head coach? Is his style going to work? Parcells-like or not? Is it going to work? BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. Bill in Yorktown fired up about the Citi Field scene. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Sal. Good to hear you, man. You were 1,000% right. I mean, I went out there on Saturday, and I have never experienced that feeling out there. It was totally electric. Everyone is super juiced up. Everyone's buying all kinds of Mets gear. And it was just it was a really good feeling for an old-time Mets guy like me.
Now, you do you go back to Shea, I'm assuming, right, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I go back to, like, 69.
Okay, so obviously...
9 years old.
Yeah, okay. So, obviously, Shea Stadium had Aprils like this. When the Mets were in the midst of their run in the 80s... Yeah. It was like this. Citi Field has never had this since 2009 when it was built.
I would tend to agree with you, Mike. I've been there every year, a couple of games, and never the buzz. It was electric.
Yeah.
But before you let me go, I don't understand. I'm listening to the Fan, and I'm not hearing at all what I heard like nonstop last week, and that was about how we can get rid of Soto and how Soto is going to be a flop. I mean, what happened to all these callers and all these hosts who are just, burying the guy embarrassingly after like 15 games of the season?
Well, who? I mean, you gotta give me names. You gotta get. Forget the callers. Give me the hosts who said that.
Well, I mean, I listen. I'll be honest with you. I listen sporadically, but right. I'm telling you, every time I turn the radio on, and you know it's true, people are calling in.
No,
this guy's a bust.
No. I think I'll address it, but I think that there's a miscommunication here. I'm not saying callers, because we did take calls, BT and I, and thank you for the call, Bill. Appreciate you checking in. We did take calls last week, and even BT was saying about the contract long term. I can't speak for everybody else. All I could say is, from my perspective, this is what I said then. This is what I'm going to say now. I was angry and frustrated and disappointed in Juan Soto's performance so far. I still am, as a matter of fact. I don't know how a couple of singles or a ribby double in a game that was, kind of out of hand anyway is like, that's not what's expected of Juan Soto. He's expected to do a lot more. But you can be, at least me, I can be angry and frustrated in his start with the Mets, but also not be worried or concerned at all moving forward. That's where I sat. I don't know about this bad contract stuff, maybe bad year stuff, maybe Soto not, going to be with the Mets long term. Like, we had the conversation of why Juan Soto might have been off to the slow start and speculated about, remember there were reports out there, Andy Martino in the spring reported about Soto missing the Yankees. That's a fact. That was a report. I didn't want to hear it, but that was a fact. The Post had the report last week about Mike Puma saying Soto missed having Aaron Judge in the lineup, best hitter in baseball behind him, blah, blah, blah. Those were things that we were reacting to. I, at least, never was one to say that Soto's not going to work here, that the contract was a mistake, that he's going to have a bad year. He had a bad start. And I was annoyed with his bad start. Still waiting for more. There's a lot more there. Mets are 9-1 at home this year. Juan Soto has yet to hit a home run as a member of the Mets at Citi Field. Yet, as a visitor, he comes in and hits home runs left and right. Yankees, Nationals, Padres. So this is not anywhere near the best version of Juan Soto. So there's a real big difference in what maybe you heard, Bill. And again, I don't know about all the other shows. I don't listen 24 hours a day. I just can't. But this show I listen to every hour that we're here, every second, obviously, because I'm doing it. Me, personally, I never once doubted Juan Soto, ever. Criticized him? Yes, for his slow start. Doubted him? Never. Ryan is calling from Monroe, Connecticut. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good. How are you?
So, I think MLB could change Judge's home run to a home run, non-home run to a home run. I'm just not sure about the whole, you know, obviously there'd be a run scored. So, last fall, it was either the last week of the regular season or the first week of the playoffs, I had a hit parlay through DK, and they gave, Lindor smoked the ball towards short, and the kid, it tipped off the kid's glove, like it was a definite hit. They gave him an error. Long story short, that ended up, you know, screwing my parlay. Was that, they had it as an error. A week later, I go onto DK, money's in my account.
Oh,
They changed it. So what happened was, every team has a representative. They put their grievances in for maybe the week or the month or however they want to do it. And I guess it goes to some appeal process, and they look over it in the MLB offices, and they say, yay or nay, we'll change
it. Now, the difference with this, though, is, and there's a big difference here, and thank you for the call, Ryan. The difference is this was not a decision made by the official scorer. This was a decision made by the umpires based on the replay officials. I'm pretty sure that's a significant difference in this process. Say that again, Dove.
The guy's on base anyway, whether error or hit. That doesn't change the game.
All right. This changes the game. Whether it's a hit or an error is an official scorer's decision that got the guy on base. This turning a strikeout into a home run after the replay officials and umpires ruled that it was a foul ball, that's not just a, well, you know what? They complained about the official scoring and it could be changed. I don't know what it would take to get this overturned. I would think it'd be a lot more detailed and a lot more difficult than changing the official scorer's decision and appealing that. I'm not saying that it can't happen. I'm not saying that I wouldn't do it. But once you do something like that, now you're really opening up a can of worms that I'm not sure baseball wants. Mo is calling from Cedarhurst. What's up, Mo?
Hey, how are you, Sal?
Good.
I also agree that they should probably give Judge the home run because ultimately you want to get the call right. However, as a Mets fan, I don't want him taking away Johan Santana's no-hitter.
Well, I mean, that's a good point. I mean, you could go back now. How many years ago was that? Obviously, you're going back a long time ago.
Right, but it's the only no-hitter that we have. So if they're going to start going back and changing stuff, that's something, you know, would that you I wouldn't trade, want as a Mets fan.
Mo, would you trade that? I mean, obviously, this is a total hypothetical fun sports conversation, but again, this is not life and death. We're talking sports. Right. Would you give up that no-hitter if they went back and changed the result of that, if it meant changing the result of, say, I don't know, the Jeffrey Mayer game?
I guess.
You know which game I'm talking about? With the Yankees and the Orioles, Jeffrey Mayer. You know, because the point I bring that up, Mo, and thank you for the call. If you're, you know, if the Yankees don't have that home run from Jeter against the Orioles, that series could have changed. Everything could have changed. The whole dynasty, you don't know. So you got to give up that Mets no-hitter in this fun hypothetical. I mean, I would do it. I don't know about you. But either way, replay was not in existence then with the Johan stuff. So that's why. And obviously, we bring this up, but they're not going to go back and overturn everything that's happened incorrectly in sport. The difference here is that there was replay. Replay is available to use. It's legal to use. It's you know, whatever the proper terminology is. It's a part of the sport, and they still got it wrong. I don't know how. I don't know how anybody. I'd love to hear when they explain to the Yankees their rationale behind not overturning that call. I'd love to hear it. There is no logical explanation for it, but I'd still love to hear whatever it is that they come up with. This really is a how-to story, how to do things the right way when you look at what Steve Cohen has done since he's taken over ownership of the New York Mets. And I remember having this conversation with BT years ago, seeing that this was going to be the path for the Mets. Now, I remember having the conversation saying the Mets are going to take over the town. Problem with that is that the Yankees are too good where they're not ever going to go away to the level that it was in the 80s when the Mets did take over the town. But as far as them getting themselves on the right track and building this thing up, this has been years in the making. Steve Cohen has learned the hard way at times, going out there after the, as Evan would say, mercenaries in Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer, but spending money big in short-term contracts in high-end proven pitching, but older. Didn't work. And then that, to me, was the changing, the turning point in the Mets organization, where once Cohen learned that, and he had then-general manager Billy Epler go out there and sell and trade guys off with money, paying them as well to get better prospects, that started the turnaround for this team. And it put them in a good spot last year where their farm system is better. Obviously, they hired David Stearns and can't have a better GM right now than him, or president of the baseball operations, not just the GM, president of the baseball operations, where he has proven his philosophy, especially when it comes to pitching, is the right way, or it's at least working, and has worked since he's been here with the Mets. He had success with the Brewers before that. The Mets going out there trying to get the high-end items, whether they failed with Ohtani or Yamamoto or Sasaki, they go out there and land Juan Soto. That was always part of the plan. Remember, without Juan Soto, where's that mega star that the Mets would have had? Yes, Lindor is a star, and Alonso playing this year like a superstar, but those guys are not on the level of Juan Soto. And now you put it all together where you're getting the best version of Lindor, the best version of Alonso, Juan Soto, who is yet to come even close to his best version. And when that happens, it's going to be scary. Stearns and Hefner and the pitching lab and all that goes into that, that's been at its best. Mendoza, the right hire with the manager, the fans going out, filling the ballpark. It is the perfect storm right now for the Mets. Now, there will be some adversity along the way. There always is. But right now, you are seeing, as the Mets did the hard work, they're coming out the other side of it now. This is the fun. This is the moment to enjoy and live in, where the, and you hope to be sitting here for the next 5 to 10 years, where this is the norm. This should be the new norm for the New York Mets under Steve Cohen. You expect that he's going to go out there and invest in the ball club. You expect that the general manager, the president, David Stearns, is going to go out there and make good decisions. Doesn't mean every single one, but more often than not, you expect the Mets to be a smart organization. You expect the fans to show up, and you expect the players to do their jobs. And that's how you have a successful organization. Now, it's early in the process, but this is what it looked like, the vision for Steve Cohen when he took over, and that Met fans could have imagined. This is it. You're in the midst of it right now. The beginning of it for this year, and a new, you know, level of it with bringing in Juan Soto. Obviously, last year was a great success as well, after what couldn't have been a worse start with Mendoza taking over. You know, the 0-5 start, the Mets were awful, all that stuff last year. I was thinking, it's going to be years from this team being good, change the core, all that stuff, to where they are now. It is a total difference. But that happened by hiring the right people with Stearns and Mendoza, letting them do their job, the players performing, creating an environment where the players can perform at their best level. Steve Cohen has done that as well. Creating an environment that the fans want to go out there and be a part of. And then the fans are excited. The players are excited. It adds up to 9-1 at home, and the Phillies coming in for a very big early season series. Maybe setting the tone in what will happen the rest of the way in the National League East. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Kevin is calling from Yorktown. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Sal. Holding it down solo, man. Good stuff. Thanks, appreciate Kev. Your show, bro.
Thank you.
So I wanted to, I like the points you made, but I wanted to point out, I think that there is a huge difference. You can have it both ways when you're talking about Aaron Glenn coaching and just how the fans treat baseball players at the plate. And it just comes down to, I never played football, but I played lacrosse, you know, contact sport. I played soccer where my coach is yelling at me from the sidelines, right? And in football, 16 games, you got a coach. That intensity translates nonstop. That type of mentality, I mean, if a player is going to complain, they're not going to last. They're going to get better with that type of coach. And from a player standpoint, the guy's got a 15-year contract. And if cheering him on and saying, listen, man, it's all good. We're here. You're here to stay. He already looks better. He already looks stronger. He looks more confident. You know, yeah. I'm all about it. I don't think that, and I'm a Mets and Jets fan, and I would go either way depending on the sport.
Understood. I mean, I think you bring up some fair points, Kevin, and thank you for the call. I do think, though, the NFL is also getting to a point where the coaches like Coughlin. Remember, Tom Coughlin, you saw it Exhibit A here. When he first took over, he was Parcells-like. Hard-ass, no-nonsense guy. Now, not that he really got away from that, but he did soften up a little. Coughlin softened up, and it led to Super Bowl wins. And now the player, I mean, we're what, 10 years removed, whatever it is. Now the players, I hate to even use the term soft because I'm not doing it in a derogatory way. Maybe sensitive is the right way, where players are more sensitive. And by the way, to each player, their own. Like, I don't believe Juan Soto is a sensitive individual at all. I think he's a young kid, sure. I think he's getting acclimated to new surroundings, trying to live with the fact that he signed a 15-year deal, to your point, trying to deal with the pressure that he hasn't had to deal with before. It's different type of pressure. He's handled pressure. He will handle this pressure eventually, but living up to a $765 million contract is different than the pressure on yourself, because all he had to do before was prove it within himself to go out there and show the world what he could do. Now he may be feeling the burden of that contract, meaning he doesn't want to disappoint the owner. He doesn't want to disappoint the fans. He doesn't want to disappoint his fans, whatever. I mean, there's a lot that goes into that. So it is different than just the pressure of hitting free agency, which he handled well, the pressure of the postseason. But I do think players are more sensitive nowadays. I think it's fair to say Francisco Lindor was sensitive. Remember, Francisco Lindor, the fans were booing him in the beginning, and he booed them back with the thumbs down thing. Now, we're at a perfect spot with Lindor, with Met fans and him, and it started really with the Met fans encouraging him last year when he needed it. But that was a year's buildup to that, multiple years of being in a relationship with Lindor, you know, from a fan's perspective, that led to, hey, you know, this guy, for whatever reason, hasn't been the best version of himself yet. Maybe, just maybe, cheering him on, encouraging him can help. And it did. I don't think Soto needs that. I don't believe that Soto's results over the weekend were a direct correlation to the encouragement. I don't think the encouragement can hurt. I mean, do the math. Cheering somebody's not going to hurt them. But I also think coaching hard, while it is two different things, coaching the way Parcells would coach in today's NFL with more sensitive kids playing the game, I don't know if that's going to be the recipe for success. Look at Bill Belichick. It didn't work with Bill Belichick. Right? I mean, that was the whole problem. We'll see how it works at the college ranks with Belichick, or if he's going to soften or whatever, but didn't work with him. Andy Reid is a player's coach. Yeah, he could be tough, but he's a player's guy. He's not like Parcells was. Glenn's coming in, and he's acting like Bill Parcells. I respect it. I like it. I don't know if this is the right time, meaning, you know, 2025, for that. I hope it is. I'd love to see it work out. I'm just not sure. Brian is in Omaha, Nebraska. What's up, Brian?
Hey, what's going on, Sal? How's it going?
Good, Brian. How are you?
Good. I'm actually driving back to New York right now, listening on the Free Odyssey app. I'm going to get in Wednesday morning, and I'm going straight to that afternoon game at Citi Field. I can't wait to see this team take on the Phillies. I'm super excited. Hopefully it's for a sweep.
Love it. Are you coming in just for that, or you happen to have business here?
No, I have business in New York. I'll be spending the next 2 weeks. But my point was really about the home run, Judge's home run. And I could be wrong, it's happened before, but I think the ball above the foul pole is the same type of judgment call where if it bounces fair inbounds and foul behind the bag, it's only a judgment call by the umpire, and they can't draw any imaginary lines and figure it out. So even though it was reviewed, I think technically it's not supposed to be a reviewable call.
But that doesn't make any sense, Brian, in that, and thank you for the call, and good luck with your trip, and enjoy Citi Field Wednesday. I'm jealous. I'm working, otherwise I'd try to get out there this week myself for one of these games against the Phillies. Replay with home runs is supposed to be different. I know what you're saying, but for a home run, it should be different. There's a clear replay showing whether the ball is fair or foul, and this happens a lot in Major League Baseball, not just yesterday. Now, the difference is that it was in a minor league stadium where instead of stands behind the wall, it was trees. And instead of having a taller foul pole, it was shorter. But that doesn't make any difference when you watch it on the replay. A ball's not going to curve the other way. It's not going to slice and curve from, let's say, third base and go on the left side of the foul pole back around to the trees it's going to go the other way. I mean, it's not going to screwball. If anything, it's going to, you know, slice. And this did after it went way fair. I still don't understand the excuse. I'm dying to find out what the explanation is for Major League Baseball.